Romans chapter 15. This morning, because we're 2 days away from the election, I want to talk to you for a little bit more today about hope. I spoke on just a little bit of that in our service last Sunday, but I want to take what I did and go a little bit further with it. But verse 13 of Romans 15 says this: Now may the God of what? Hope. Everybody say hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. How many of you believe today? I love the way the Spirit led Paul to write these words. Now may the God of hope, we have to understand he's a God of hope so that we can understand he can fill us with joy and peace in believing. So you are filled with hope, and then you believe that God is a God who will fill you with joy and peace. And they all come together. But it begins with hope. May the God of hope. How many of you have a God of hope today? In spite of everything you see, in spite of everything you hear, in spite of everything that's going on in this world, do you have a God that you can hope in? We do, don't we? To me, that's a powerful, you know, just a powerful thing to consider this morning. You know, we exercise hope, don't we? We've all exercised it in some way. We hope for things, okay? Yeah, you know, so you can ask yourself, what did you hope for? What did you hope in? Those are two very different things. You can hope for something, but the reality of it is, if you're hoping for something, then what are you really hoping in, or who are you hoping in? Because there has to be a source that will release what you are hoping for. If you're hoping for someone to be healed, and I'll explain hope again because it's not this wishful thinking. But if you're hoping for someone to be healed, that hope that you're exercising has to be rooted in someone or something in order for that to take place. Hope is always dependent on something or someone. If you're hoping for something right now, if there's anything in your life that you're hoping for, it is based on something or someone. You can say, I hope it doesn't rain. How many of you ever said that? You're planning something. I hope it doesn't rain. Well, if you're just hoping it's not going to rain, a wishful thinking, then you're hoping in the weather to cooperate. You're hoping in the weather. If you say, I hope we have steak for supper, who are you hoping in? You're hoping in your wife. You're hoping in the cook. You got the right answer. It's right there. I hope my wife knows that I want steak today. Now, if you didn't tell your wife, you men, if you didn't tell, then you're wishfully thinking. Okay? Your hope is a wish that she knows what you want and would like to have that. But it's a plenary thinking. I hope I don't owe any taxes. What are you hoping in there? You're hoping in futility. Okay? That's a futile thing. Okay? Because you owe taxes. Everybody pays taxes, right? How about this? I hope God heals so-and-so. Where's your hope? It's in God. I hope God comes through. You're facing a situation. You say, I hope God comes through. Who is your hope based in? I hope God heard our prayers yesterday. You can leave after a convocation like that, and you can leave saying, I hope God heard us. You can say that two different ways. And I want to share with you that. You see, there's a thing. There's a difference between the first three and the second three. Okay? There's a difference between the rain and the steak and the taxes to healing, God coming through, and God hearing our prayers. We can say, I hope, in all six of these statements, but they're different in their ways. Now, here's the thing. Last Sunday, this is what I talked about for just a little bit. I spoke to you about a horizontal faith and a vertical faith. If we put ourselves into a horizontal hope, if we have a horizontal hope, then we are hoping in things and people in this world. But if we have a vertical hope, then our hope is in God. And so what I'm really talking about is the difference between horizontal and vertical, okay? The difference between, you know, rain, steak, and taxes are horizontal hope. But if you go to healing, provision, and answered prayer, now you're talking about a vertical hope. And the season that we're in right now, folks, we cannot have a horizontal hope. We cannot hope in the electoral system. We cannot hope in just, you know, wishful thinking that this is going to happen and that's going to happen. We have to have an up and down hope that God is in charge, that God knows our prayers, that He knows our heart, that He's heard us pray, and that God's will be done. How many of you have that kind of hope that God's will be done? You see, that's the hope I'm talking about today that we must have right now in this season. We have to have a vertical hope in God. Horizontal hope I talked about excludes God and His wisdom, His power, and His ability. This horizontal hope doesn't get it. It leaves God out of the picture. It puts your hope and confidence in everything else other than God. But vertical hope is in God, period, right? It's in God, period. Now, I want to give you just real quickly some examples of this kind of a vertical hope. Go to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, I want to just give you some illustrations this morning. But I'll tell you, I have hope today. How many of you have hope? Do you have it? Do you have hope in God? That it doesn't matter what takes place on Tuesday, no matter, it might take longer than that, right? With hundreds and hundreds of lawyers that are ready to go, that are ready to contest anything that comes out. We don't know how long this is going to go, but however that happens, folks, my hope is not in lawyers. My hope is in God. My hope and my trust is in Him. I have this confident expectation, and that's what vertical hope is. Vertical hope, like I said last week, is a confident expectation in your God. Not in other things, but in your God. Here in Mark chapter 5, there is the issue, the woman with the issue of blood. In Mark chapter 5, verse 25, it says, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. She had a physical ailment for 12 long years. Now this is her horizontal hope that comes out. Her horizontal hope is spoken of here in verse 26. She had suffered many things from many physicians, and she spent all that she had and was no better but grew worse. She had a horizontal hope in the physicians, and she had a horizontal hope in her finances, in her money. And that's the way a lot of people are today. They are putting their hope in their finances, in their resources, in the things that they can run to here on the face of this earth in a natural sense. And this was this woman. She had a horizontal hope, a wishful thinking that, you know what, maybe these things will help me. But it says she grew worse. Now, verse 27 says this, when she heard about Jesus. And how many of you know that's what people need to know? Today, people need to hear about Jesus. Because when they hear about Jesus, something takes place. Their hope changes from a horizontal hope to a vertical hope. And that's what happened with this woman. She had a horizontal hope. I hope she went to every physician she knew. She spent all the money she had, and it just kept on a horizontal plane. But when she heard about Jesus, something rose up inside of her, and she began to develop a vertical hope in this. So when she heard about Jesus, she came behind Him in the crowd and touched His garment. For this is what she said. Here's her vertical hope on display. If only I may touch His clothes, I shall. Everybody say shall. I shall be made well. She stopped looking at physicians. She stopped looking at her bank account. She said, those things aren't working for me. That horizontal hope does not make a difference in my life. But there is a vertical hope that I can run to. There is a God in heaven that I can run to. There is a man called Jesus, and I've heard about Him. I heard about the miracles that He performed. I heard about how him touching other people made them well. And she said, if I just touch the hem of His garment, I shall be made well. That's the kind of hope you and I need to have. You know, to be honest with you, I didn't like using the word hope. I didn't like using the word hope, not that it's not in the Word of God, because it is. Our opening passage talks about Him being the God of hope. But whenever you speak about hope, in the other person's mind, more times than not, they're thinking about this horizontal hope. They're thinking about a wishful thinking, that you're really wishing that this would happen. And I don't want to give people the impression that I'm just wishing things would happen. And there are times I want to say I hope, and then I stop myself from saying it because I don't want people to think that I'm just wishfully thinking that God might do something. But I want you to know today, I can honestly say I have hope today. And I can say, I hope this nation is saved. I can say, I hope this nation is forgiven. I hope that God has heard our prayers. I can say that today, not meaning I'm wishfully thinking that God heard our prayers, but I am confidently expecting an answer to the prayers because He has heard us. That's the kind of hope we need. So whenever I use the word hope, please take me in the right context. Don't misunderstand me, okay? I love, you know, this passage of Scripture. It says, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Immediately. And Jesus immediately, at the same time, knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, he turned and he said, who touched my clothes? How many of you want to touch Jesus like that? How many of you want to have that kind of hope, that kind of confident expectation, that when you go to the throne room, you touch Jesus? Who touched me? But his disciples said, you see the multitude thronging? You say, who touched me? He looked around and he saw her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell before him and told him the whole truth. And he said, daughter, look at this. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. You know what hope does? It releases your faith. You have to have this vertical hope in God. And that is what helps release your faith. She had this vertical hope, this confident expectation, if I touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made well. And so when she touched the hem of a garment, because she was moved by her confident expectation, faith was released. Faith is what brought healing to her. But it began with hope. As you have believed, the level of your confidence, the level of your confident expectation, that will be the determining factor. That will be the determining factor, not your wishful thinking. So stop wishing. Look at your neighbor and say, stop wishing. We have to have a confident hope, right? We have to have a confident expectation in God that these things are going to take place. I'm going to go one more. You don't have to turn there, but there in Matthew chapter 20, there is the incident with two blind men outside of Jericho. Jesus is leaving Jericho. There's two blind men there, and they begin to cry out. They heard Jesus was passing by. They're blind. They didn't see, but they heard the commotion, and somebody must have mentioned the name of Jesus, whatever, but however it took place, these men heard that Jesus was going by, and as they did, as they were going by, they started crying out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. Have mercy, have mercy. What was happening in them? They didn't have much hope because all they would do is sit and beg. All they could do for a living was to sit and beg, have a cup in their hand or a bowl in their hand or sitting in front of them, hoping that people would come by and have mercy on them, would just feel for them and give them some money. And that was the extent of their living. They had to depend on other people on that plenary level. On that horizontal level, so they're sitting there. But when they heard Jesus was going by, again, the same thing happened to them as it happened to this woman with the issue of blood. Their hope turned vertical. Again, they heard about Jesus, and their hope turned vertical. And they started crying out. And as they cried out, the crowd told them, hush, be quiet. But they cried out all the more. The Bible says they cried out all the more. In other words, they said, you haven't heard anything yet. You try to keep me down, I'm going to cry even louder. And so these two men started crying all the more, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. Get Jesus' attention. Get his attention. And let's see what God will do. Let's see what God will do. That's what we've been doing in these prayer meetings. That's what we've been doing as pastors gathering together Monday through Friday in prayer. That's what we've been doing in building up to this convocation. We had the convocation yesterday. Why? Because we are believing that God has heard us. We are believing that God will hear us. We had hope yesterday. We released our hope. Our hope was mixed with faith, and we believe God heard, and we believe God is answering. Do you believe God is answering? Everybody say, America shall be saved. You know what that is? That is vertical hope. That is vertical hope. America shall be saved. That is a declaration that we are speaking out in faith, that God hears the cries of his people, that he still holds himself to 2 Chronicles 7:14. He still holds himself to his word. That is his word, not ours. And he said, if my people, how many of you are his people? Look at your neighbor and ask him, are you one of us? Did you answer? I hope you said yes. Okay. This is God's word. This is him speaking to us. If my people, yes, he spoke that to the nation of Israel when the temple was dedicated. And he was speaking to the nation of Israel, but it still applies to us today because we are his people. We are his people. And so he says, if my people, we cannot depend on our politicians to save this nation. We cannot depend on whoever's going to be the next president, whether the same one stays in office or a new one comes in. We must not depend on a president. We must not depend on a House or a Senate. We must not depend on a judicial system and the Supreme Court. Our dependency and our trust and our hope is in God. It doesn't matter what's going to happen. It will not change God. It will not dethrone God. He will still be on his throne. He will still be in control, regardless of what happens. But we believe, and we have hope. Do you have hope? These men cried out. They heard Jesus was passing. They cried out. I believe that's so important, folks, that we cry out to God. That's the way we should pray. Okay, that's the way I hope we prayed yesterday. Can I put it that way? I hope we prayed this way yesterday. In other words, I believe with confident expectation that that's the way we prayed. The prayers this morning that we just prayed. These men that were standing up here and you being in agreement. Okay, I hope they prayed this way. I have confident expectation that what they prayed they meant. I mean, you men meant it, right? You men did mean what you prayed, right? So I can say I hope they prayed this way because I have a confident expectation that that's the way they prayed. They prayed like they believe and they meant it. That's what we need during this season. We need more than anything to have hope in God. We need more than anything to have a hope in God. Let me give you quickly another illustration. Naomi, she felt helpless because her husband and her sons died while they were living in a foreign land. She was a mess. She felt like God had abandoned her because when she arrived back in Israel, she told the people, don't call me Naomi anymore, call me Mara. Mara means bitter. I'm a bitter woman. I'm bitter because of what happened in my life. I'm bitter because my husband and my sons were taken away from me. I'm bitter because I have no more financial income because I'm dependent on upon my family. I was dependent upon my husband and my children, my two sons, to make provision for me. Call me Mara, call me bitter, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. That's what she was saying. But listen, folks, she didn't know what God was up to. Let me tell you, God has a bigger plan than our little ability to see. Yesterday we prayed. Approximately 400 people on that field prayed. And we had all the people that were marching up to pray, and we had the worship team. And that was all in the physical realm. We have no idea what took place in the supernatural. We have no idea what took place spiritually in heavenly places. We have no idea how we touched heaven and how that's going to impact earth in return. We have an idea because we know God is a God who answers prayer, right? We have an idea, but we have no idea until God reveals it. So what happened with Naomi? She didn't know God was working out her future and the future of the nation. She had no idea. And not only that, God was working out the future of eternity for humanity. Why? Because here's what happened. Her daughter-in-law, Ruth, married a man named Boaz. Boaz and his wife had a son named Obed. Obed and his wife had a son named Jesse. And Jesse and his wife had a son named David. Way before Naomi could ever understand what God was up to something. He was up to something, only it was going to take much longer than her physical life to see it all pan out. You know, you might not see something going on in your life. You might not see the fulfillment of your prayers going on right now. But listen, God is much greater than your timetable. And so God had this in plan. And so Jesse had a son named David who became king of Israel. And listen to this, folks. And through this lineage, 30 generations later, a Savior would come. 30 generations after David, a Savior would come. She had no idea that Ruth was going to be a part of this lineage. But she was. We have to have hope in our God. Whatever happens in this election, whatever happens on Super Tuesday, whatever happens on Super Thursday 6 weeks later, whatever it is, we don't know what's going to happen. But God sees much more than 4 years down the road. God sees much more than another 4 years of a presidency. God sees further than we could ever imagine, and we have to trust Him. We must trust Him in this season. We must have a vertical hope that says, God, I am confidently expecting You to move in this nation. And He will for His divine purposes. In the natural, it looked like God abandoned Naomi in a foreign land. In the natural, on the horizontal aspect of it. So I ask you today, and I even implore you today, to stop thinking and hoping on a horizontal plane. But to hear the name of Jesus again and turn your horizontal hope into a vertical hope. And let's see what God will do. Let's see what God will do. How many of you serve a big God? How many of you serve an awesome God? That's the God we need to believe in. There is no election. And there is no Supreme Court decision that will ever change who God is. Will never change His character, His nature, His essence. Will never change Him. And we can have hope in that. We can have hope in that. Amen. I pray that you leave this place with hope. With a confident expectation in your God. You might be praying for family members. You might be praying for children. Some of you might be praying for aunts or uncles, whoever it is. You might be praying for people, and you might be praying for a while. Don't give up in your prayers, but attach that vertical hope to God and say, God, I am praying from now on. I am praying with a confident expectation. I am lifting my eyes up to You. I'm not going to depend on anyone else. I'm not going to depend on anything else. I'm going to depend on You, and I have a confident expectation that You will hear my prayers, You have heard my prayers, and it will be done in Jesus' name. Whatever it is that you're facing, whatever it is that's going on in your life right now, develop that vertical hope. Develop that confident expectation in your God. He will not fail you. He will not fail you. Did you hear that? He will not fail you. 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 You can emphasize it any way you want. He will not fail you. However you emphasize it, it's all good, right? That's almost like looking at pound cake and say, which piece do I want first? It's all good. It's all good, right? Look at a pecan pie. Shall I keep on? That's the way God is. He is all good. He is all good. And we can put our hope in Him. Amen. Would you bow your heads? I have just I have this satisfaction in my heart today, knowing what God has done. And by that I mean He has heard us. Not only did He hear us, but He saw us on that field. He saw every one of us on that field. I asked during that time when I was giving the ending, I believe it was, and I said, how many of you had a hard time getting here? I was talking to Rick, and he was telling me I had a hard time getting there because the farm was blowing up. You know, the enemy tried to take out our sound system, and the enemy tried to keep him home by having his farm blow up, water and all kinds of things that he was having to do, and you know, but he got there. I saw you when you walked in. But more than that, it doesn't matter that I saw you. What matters is God saw you folks coming in. And God saw every single one of us. And I know there's some of you that you couldn't make it for whatever medical reasons, things we had. God knows that. You don't have to feel badly about it. Now, if you went fishing, I'll put a guilt trip on you. If you decided to do something else, then let's talk. But what I'm saying is this, God saw you. And He heard you. And when He hears prayer, He answers. And we can have a confident expectation in that. Amen. Let me ask you this. Is there anyone in this room right now that you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? I always do this. I never want you to leave without having an opportunity to know that your sins are forgiven and that you are a child of God. If that's you this morning and you're not sure whether you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you're not sure whether you were born again, saved, you're not sure where you're going to spend eternity, but you want to know this morning, raise your hand real quickly. Just right now, just raise your hand and say, Pastor, I want to know today because I'm just not sure. Is there anyone here? My prayer is that you are saved, that you are born again. Let's stand together. It's been an interesting service, hasn't it? Everybody do this with both hands. Just shaking it off. Sometimes we just got to shake off things and say, devil, you're a liar. You lost already. And so we just shake it off. Amen? We just shake it off and move on. Father, thank you for this day, and we thank you for this weekend. We thank you, Father, for your help and even allowing it to take place. We thank you, God, that you saved the day. Thank you, God, that in the middle of the night, in the darkest of night, when the enemy wants to creep in and do something in the middle of the night, Father, thank you that he was exposed, and thank you, Father, that you saved the day. We give you glory for that, Father. And we thank you today and all the things that were happening today in this service, Father. We thank you that you are still God. And, Father, that's okay. Because, God, there are greater things that we must be focused on than just having a nice, sweet service. It's all about you, Father, and we know we're in a battle. We know, Father, that the battle lines have been drawn with the prayers that have been prayed for weeks now, in weeks, and also yesterday, that was a battle line that was drawn. And so, Father, we will continue in the battle. We will continue to move forward. These will not distract us. And, Father, we give you praise. And so, Father, I ask now that everyone who leaves this place, they do not leave until they've established that vertical hope in their hearts. I pray for everyone who's watching via our streaming, and I pray for everyone at their homes, wherever they're watching right now, that God, you would instill and you would agitate in them a vertical hope. So, Father, we say right now, we believe. We believe. And, Father, at 5:00 today, you know that there is a prayer meeting, a prayer gathering at our state's capital. Hal Sachs, Bridge Builders International, Dan Taylor, and many others are going to be leading this. There will be people gathering at 5:00 today at our state capitol, and we pray for those who will be gathering together, but we join our prayers with them right now that, God, you will hear from Arizona You will hear us from Arizona as we cry out to you. So we ask you to bless their convocation. We ask you to bless their time together. We pray, Father, for them. And even now we pray for their prayers, that they will be strategic, that they will be God-breathed, that they will be prophetic prayers. Prayers, God, that come from you, that you help them to pray, Father. And so we ask your blessings on them, Lord, as they prepare today to spend those 2 hours, 3 hours, however long it's going to be, at our state's capital to pray for our state and to pray for our nation. We join with them, God. Father, we'll give you the praise. Thank you for this day, Father. Thank you for this weekend. We've been blessed. But, Father, more than that, we pray that you have been blessed. We pray that you have been blessed by our prayers, by our worship, by all that we could offer you. We pray, Father, you've been blessed. So, Father, we thank you in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Praise God. Will the Lord bless you. You have a great day today in Jesus' name.